fulfillment of their duty on earth, and they feel a sense of repentance, a desire to come closer to Hashem, and so they strip themselves of their former evil habits, and they begin to live according to the way they should, fulfilling the mitzvahs of the Torah, davening with more kavanah, learning more. But this is only temporary, because what happens? The satan, the Yetzer Hara, does not lie dormant. The satan, who is the person's soul's mortal enemy, sees that this person has become aroused to serve Hashem, but the satan drops everything and goes after this person to try to recapture him. He wants to master that person's soul, Rahmanul Islam. Now, again, in many cases it happens very tragically that a person who means well, tries his best, ascends, he climbs up this mountain of Hashem. You have that in Tillim. Mi Yala Behar Hashem. Mi Yala, who is the one that is zechid to rise up, to ascend this mountain of Hashem, this mountain of holiness, whose soul rises to a new level of purity. But there, even at the top, he finds this vengeful angel, the angel of evil, waiting for him to do battle with him. And there are many victims, many casualties whom this angel destroys. He throws him off this mountain, so that the second half of the pasuk, Mi Yokum Bemekayim Kodesh Hu, shall remain there. Very few remain. A lot of them attempt this climb. They do reach the top, but the vast majority fall afterwards. Very few remain. Those that remain, of course, we know Kodesh Yemalei, very holy is the expression said about them. The Meidazal says, let us deal with those who fell, those who have departed, those whose souls have departed. They are still alive physically, but their soul, in a sense, has died. What about those people? What about the fact that they were close to Hashem for a while, temporarily? Meidazal says, and let us take not our judgment, but the judgment in the eyes of Hashem. Now, who knows what Hashem feels about this? How can we tell what Hashem feels about these people who have fallen? What Hashem says about them, and in what light Hashem considers them? How can we tell? We could tell if we can get a response from Hashem about this item. If we could ask Hashem, and have Hashem reply to us, we'd have the true answer. Fortunately, we have a direct wire to Hashem. We have Hashem's own words, Hashem's own, very own words in the Torah. Torah is the word of Hashem. We have in the Torah this pasuk that Amenazel says, pasuk in Shir HaShirim, where the Chassan says to the Kala, at Har Sinai, at Mount Sinai, there was a kaviyachal, a wedding between Hashem and the Jews. Hashem was the Chassan, the Jews were the Kala, the bride. The wedding took place at Mount Sinai. The wedding contract was the Torah. This is what bound them together. This is what united Hashem with the Jews. And the entire Shir HaShirim, the Song of Songs, revolves around this topic. It deals with the discussion, the exchange of words between the Chassan and the Kala. Words of deep ahava, deep love between Hashem and the Jews. Here we find a statement by Hashem. The wording Rabbi Nezal brings, Libavtini bi'achas me'enoyach. That pasuk of Shir HaShirim, Libavtini, you have filled my heart, Hashem says to the bride. As a chassan, I say to you, my bride, you have filled my heart with a warmth, with an ahava, with one of your eyes. One of your eyes has filled my heart with a warmth, a one-eyed kala. Is a one-eyed kala any good? A brawl that has one eye? And the Gemara explains what is meant by one eye in this case, because Rachmanu Litzlan, how tragic it was that the Jews standing under the chuppah at Mount Sinai, one eye turned to Hashem, already had the other eye turned away towards adultery, towards idol worship, towards the golden calf. So right there already, they were only halfway bound to Hashem in this wedding. Now, a kala like that, it would seem that the chassan would desert her completely, immediately, would never want to look at her, to see her again, to know her again. But Hashem, who is the epitome of his infinite kindness, infinite compassion, says to the Jews, Libaftini bi'achas me'enoich, even though you had one eye turned away, you were seeking to leave, but at least I had you for a few moments. And those few moments filled me with happiness and filled me with a satisfaction, a deep nachas. The Beit Hillel says, let this be a lesson then, that when a person rises up and he feels that he has fallen, let him know then that he hasn't lost everything, because the moments that he was with Hashem are so precious, in the eyes of Hashem, they remain. It is our brings to the pasuk Ta'amo ki teiv sachra, that those who taste the goodness, the purity of the Teda, those who taste the pleasure of being pure, living in Kedusha and holiness with Hashem, with true emunah the tzaddik emes, studying the words of Teda, oyichbe balayla neda, even when night comes, night, the darkness, when the light of the Kedusha begins to fail, begins to dim, person loses his position, he falls. But leichba, the candle will not become extinguished completely. Some degree of light will always remain. His credit for the good that was done will never be extinguished, never be erased completely. Therefore, this should be a lesson both for any person at all. If you try, you have a friend, you try to instill in him, to inspire him with a spirit of religion, desire to come closer to Hashem, become more religious, and you succeeded in bringing him. You brought him to a class, one class he attended. He never came back. Feel a satisfaction in your heart that you have brought a sacrifice to Hashem, a reyach lichayach, a pleasant korban, a sacrifice that brought pleasure to Hashem. Because even momentarily, it was something that heartened Hashem kaviyachol. The person too, that person himself, person who has been, who has experienced, who has sensed going up, and then he has fallen. He tried so hard to remain up on top, but he finds that he's weak when it comes to his yetzahara. He cannot combat the yetzahara. He hasn't got the willpower. He finds himself dropping and falling. What can he grasp onto? A person is falling into a deep pit. The walls are smooth. There's no rope. What can he hold on to? How can he save himself? What can he salvage? The answer is that memories generally are meaningless, worthless, a wisp of smoke. Memory of the past that is gone. In this case, the memory is something concrete. The person is dropping. The true means of salvation, the true rescue is by grasping onto a memory. Think back how wonderful it was when you were able to live and breathe and experience the purity, the holiness, the thrill of being pure, of davening with true kavana, of learning. Hold on to that and you'll find that it's something concrete. It becomes a rope that with which you can pull yourself back up to. Up to the top, and it takes only a second. 1 second, a clear thought, a moment of clear thought can bring a person snapping back. Why should I fall? Why? Who's forcing me? I have the power to control myself. I can turn right back and go back to Hashem. Therefore, that is the value. The Beit Hillel says, in the remembering that every single act, every single good deed that is ever done, every good word, every good thought can never be lost. No good thought ever goes lost. So a person can strengthen himself, bring himself back, even with the past. Above all, we come to the main motto Rabbeinu Zal spread throughout the world. Ein shum yiyush b'olam klal. Never should a person give up hope. There is no such thing as giving up hope ever. No matter what transpires in a person's life, no matter how far he has strayed or wandered or gone wrong, He can always return. As long as there is one breath left within him, he can return and rise up to the top. Very fittingly, the next paragraph, Abinazel said to the Abnosazel, Abnosazel told that one day Abinazel said to Abnosazel in a questioning tone, have you ever heard from me any divrei musa? Musa means any kind of lessons that are inspiring, lessons that will teach a person yira shemayim, fear of Hashem, mitzvahs. And he said, because I feel I cannot speak words of musa. Every word that I say is soaked, saturated in tears, with a whole part of my heart goes into it. Nosazal was surprised at first. Every word of it, that was quoted as musa, was something, words that were fiery, they could arouse a person. But then he realized that there was a difference. The regular means, the regular method, the regular type of musa spoken by Magidim, by those who speak, lecturers who speak words of musa, that musa always is, you are sinners, you are wrong, you are committing crimes. Wake up before it's too late. You're going to suffer. You're going to pay for your sins. That's the regular type of musa. Mitzvahs you do are not good enough. You got to try harder. Abinazal's words, the contrary, never stressed that. Abinazal's words were ones that inflamed within a person a desire that was so strong, a craving desire to serve Hashem. Desire was so strong that a person literally lost any evil thought. Every person is endowed with bechira, free choice. You can pick either the good, the way of life, the way of Teda, or Chas v'Shalom, a person can turn to sin. But a person lost his bechira when he heard the Abinazal speak. Abinazal spoke that the whole side of evil completely left him. It was only one thought, one pattern, one path in a person's mind, and that was the wonderful idea that he could now serve Hashem, nothing else. This was the power of Abinazal's words. Abinazal says that everybody, anybody, whoever attended Abinazal's shir, whoever heard a sentence from Abinazal, testified to this fact, that a sentence, a word, a lesson, the fenat, a shir by Abinazal, was enough to give a person a renewed life, renewed vigor, renewed spirit. It elevated the neshama. It went soaring up into heights far beyond anything they've experienced before, and completely in a sense of one set, a oneness, just purity. Only Yitzchak was left. So this was in the days of Abinazal. What about after Abinazal's astalkus? What about poor us who were not zecher? We never had the zechiah to see the Abinazal. Imagine that zechiah. We never had the zechiah to see the Nosazal even, to hear the Abinazal. There were no recordings then, no tapes left from the Abinazal, or from Nosazal either, or even from later generations. Mekach Lezal very said in this, there are no tapes too. Tape recorder was invented just after, just too late. Came out a bit too late to get to Rav Chaim Lezal's voice on the tape recorder. Yet some of his shiurim, how priceless they would be. But surely then none of Abinazal, Nosazal, and even the tzion of Abinazal, in a sense, is closed. Dedicate tzion Avelis, the path, the road leading to Abinazal's tzion, is in mourning. There's a mourning because the sadness of the fact that this road is so unpopulated. The road itself desires to have people going over it. You get to the Abinazal scene where the Abinazal himself stated very clearly, vowed, gave his promise. Any person who would come to his scene, the Abinazal said, I will perfect just as much as during my lifetime and even more. It's a guarantee, an eternal guarantee to a person who gets to the Abinazal Seer. That path today is in mourning because very few, if any, get there now. It's closed. Of course, of the Neshoyim, Red Neshoyim, who block passage entry to the Tzion, So we don't have the opportunity to see the Bein Hazel, to hear the Bein Hazel, even to come to the Bein Hazel seeing. What about those powerful words of the Bein Hazel, which could inspire a person, which could infuse into a person a new life, a new neshama? What chance do we have today? Rosh Hashanah says we do have it today. Today, not just in Rosh Hashanah's time, but even now we have it. Anybody who honestly, sincerely, take any one of the Bein Hazel's Sforim, open it up, read it, you'll find a light becomes illuminated in your mind and your heart, and you have a new desire, a new life in which you want to live a different, purer than before, than previously. The person continues with this, listens to words about the Bein Hazel, from the Bein Hazel, the Sforim Bein Hazel wrote, that remained from him, these today act and serve as living words coming from the Bein Hazel. So a person today could very simply hear or see the words of the Bein Hazel by learning his Sforim. Fortunately, we have Rav Nosson Zal, the Bein Hazel's main chief disciple, who recorded vast amount of the Bein Hazel's sayings. Thank the fact that which we're learning today, we have only Rav Nosson Zal to thank for it. We have these words today from the Bein Hazel, and with this, at least if we have that opportunity, let's take advantage of it, and to learn this on a steady basis, a clear person should resolve never to let one single day of his life go by without learning at least a few sentences, few passages of the Bein Hazel sayings. This is very simple. The words are written in very simple and clear, lucid Hebrew, or even an elementary student can understand them. But as you see from these Shiurim of Bein Hazel statements, they are very elementary. Every person can understand. There's nothing that deep, that difficult to grasp. Yet, as simple as it is made for the biggest tzaddik and for the greatest lamed. He too could benefit and gain from this, if he takes this with a humbleness and sincerity, he'll find how much more he has to gain by hearing, reading, learning the words of the Bein Hazel. The Bein Hazel was nostalgic on Chol HaMoed Sukkos, the year 5571. Exactly 1 year prior to that, the Bein Hazel had suffered his illness, tuberculosis, lung disease, which eventually took part in his Gestalkus, his passing. He suffered with this disease for 3 years prior to his Gestalkus. Each moment that passed became more intensified till the last days. But a year before Gestalkus, the year 5570, just after Yom Kippur, after the Shoshana, the search, the intensive search for Esregim began to take place, to shape up. And that year, there was a very severe shortage of Esregim, mitzvah of Esreg for Sukkos, in order to fulfill mitzvah Sukkah. This is the main mitzvah that a person must participate in. Esregim are expensive in general. They are rare. They should come from Eretz Yisrael. There are some that can be found in southern Europe, southeastern part of Europe. However, they're questionable. Of course, they are used today for various reasons, but the main Esregim, at least in those days, all of them came from Eretz Yisrael, as should be today too. Now, at that time, the shortage was so intense that people actually feared there would be no Esregim that year, Chas v'Shalom. They were very worried, very concerned, and until Erev Sukkos, mind you, till the very day before Sukkos, there were no Esregim, when suddenly, through the miracles, literally miracles, there arrived a shipment, just a few of them, and these were considered treasures, extreme treasures. So they were delivered, one to a city, one to a village to be used. Naftali Zal, Bein Hazel had two main Talmidim, and Rosh Hashanah Naftali Zal, they were Chavedim, very strong Chavedim. Naftali Zal was the one who came in with this shipment, together with the Shliach, who brought this. And he led this carrier to Avedazel's city, made sure he would not deviate from this path, get there, and to get to Avedazel's house before dawn to awaken Avedazel. Imagine how serious that was. Awaken a Rebbe, a tzaddik, in the middle of the night, practically. But it was done because Rav Naftali Zal knew what this meant to Avedazel. He awakened him, and Avedazel received this esreg that was extreme beauty. Well, at that time, the esreg was being sold for as much as 50 gold pieces, 60, 70, 50, 60, or 70 gold pieces, or so for even more. That would equal today to about $500 or more. That was the price being paid then. And Avedazel, when he received this esreg, he was so filled with simcha, with such a deep joy, that he said, I must have a band brought before me. Musicians to play music, because that's the only way I can really celebrate the simcha of having received an esrei. He's not going to have an esrei. So happy was Avedazel to receive this esrei. The next 3 days, Avedazel said he felt nothing as far as the sickness was concerned. It was completely erased from his mind. He experienced no pain and no suffering, because the simcha, the happiness, the esrei superseded, overshadowed completely the suffering, the really intense suffering that he had from his illness. Then, after Sukkos, the Avedazel said, now we must reveal something about the inyan, the topic of esrei. It is something that is done generally, but if the Jews would know more about it, the whole world would change. First place, Avedazel says, note carefully, that for some reason, some inexplicable reason, the Jews in general will spend a fortune for an esrog. Why more for this mitzvah than anything else? Especially a mitzvah which is so temporary. The esrog is used just for a few days, and then it is completely discarded. Any other mitzvah, you buy even a sukkah, the walls of a sukkah, you could save them for next year. A person buys a pair of tzitzis, he wears them steadily. A pair of tefillin could last for a lifetime and then give it to your descendants afterwards. Every mitzvah a person buys could last. Even, let's say, the matzahs you buy. Shmura matzah on Pesach is very expensive, but it's, to a degree, it's a meal. You're filling yourself, it's food. An esrog is something you can't even eat during Sukkos. After Sukkos, you can just make jam out of it at best. But during Sukkos, those few times that it's used, for those few times, why do people go to such expense? Instead of buying one for a few dollars, they go all out to spend an extraordinary large sum of money. And yet, too, we find in the Gemara, well, the Gemara wants to show an example of he did a mitzvah to beautify a mitzvah. An example, how do you beautify a mitzvah? By doing it upright, spending money on it by getting the best possible. The Gemara says, what is Hida Mitzvah? An esrog. Paying more money for an esrog. Paying a third more for a better esrog than for a cheaper one. And somehow, subconsciously, the Avedazel says, the Jews go out and they spend heavy money for esrog. At all times, nowadays too, even in our time, we find the Jews will spend extraordinarily for an esrog in ratio to other mitzvahs. There must be something behind it. And the answer is that subconsciously, the Jewish soul knows the value of esrog subconsciously. If the Jews would really know what esrog is, if they really understood it, if they achieved the complete understanding, imagine then what the Jews would do about an esrog. If today, without knowing it, just a subconscious feeling for it, they go so far to such extent, imagine to what extent they would go if they found out, they realized the truth about the mitzvah of esrog. Somebody will say that the answer is that the Jews are a very holy nation. You cannot fool them. They cannot be misled. They know what's good. They know what's right. And therefore, their knowledge, their instinct will lead them on, lead them to fulfill the mitzvahs properly and know which one to stress so much. This is the reason why they will spend so extravagantly for all mitzvahs, and especially for this mitzvah esrog. The man who taught us, at least now that we know a little more about the importance of esrog that Avedazel revealed, then surely when we have the opportunity for that mitzvah, we should take full advantage of it. after all, the mitzvah of Esek, as is brought, really is the encompassing of all the mitzvahs in the Torah combined. The mitzvah of Esek and the other three minim, Bulav, Hadas, and Maravais, those are three mitzvahs, Bulav, Hadas, Maravais, and Esek alone is Begimetria 610. So a total of 613, which is the total number of mitzvahs in the Torah, and this one mitzvah of Dalad Minim itself. Anavi Dalad Minim, the expensive one, the important one, is the Esek. At that time, the same time, this was after Rosh Hashanah, when the new year had begun. This was the year 570. So the people then, the Jews in general, were speaking about that they expected that year to be something very special. That was the year, they believed, they were filled with a sort of a rumor, a belief, firm conviction that in that year, Mashiach would come. So many believed it, people began to talk about it openly and started to live with that conviction in mind. Of course, those who knew waited for Rabbeinu Zal's word on that topic. Rabbeinu Zal said, this was the night after Shabbos Shuvah, Rabbeinu Zal said, it is not so. Though people believe so, Rabbeinu Zal said, if I do not feel I am opposed to this thought, Mashiach's coming this year, because this is not the time for it. Of course, Mashiach could come any moment, and the tefillah is for him to come any moment, any second. Of course, Rabbeinu Zal davened for Mashiach as much and more than any other person alive, naturally. But there were certain details that Rabbeinu Zal was aware of that others weren't, and he said the time was not ripe, unless by some miracle of Achishena, if there be a sudden surge of tshuva that would bring Mashiach suddenly. Otherwise, this was not the time for it. And why not? Because Rabbeinu Zal said, you must know, I will reveal to you the fact that before Mashiach's coming, there's going to be an era, a time, when the world is going to be devoid, denuded of emunah. There'll be so little faith left in the world that the few tzaddikim alive will cry, they will scream for the world to listen to them, to be filled with emunah, with faith in Hashem, and to no avail. Their screams will go unheeded. Of course, those few that will listen, Kodesh Yemelei, how holy they will be considered. And therefore, Emmanuel said, there will be, of course, at all times, some who will have Emunah. There will be some Tzaddikim left in the generation to try to spread this Emunah. But at that time, you will not have a group like we have now, Emmanuel said. The time of Emmanuel, there are others speaking too. Groups who are filled with a desire to advance themselves, to be led, to rise in Kedusha. At that time, the world will be seeking more material items. The world will be misled. There'll be what we realize now is the liberal faction that will take the world away from religion, lead them into material, lead them away from the true element of goodness, even in Midas itself, because Midas and religion go together, Midas and Emunah. So when you have a lack of emunah, you have a lack of midas. You have people begin to worry, they have concern about pity on animals, and pity on criminals, and pity on evil ones, and have no pity on the good, on the pure. That is a time when we know the world has turned completely dark, and that kind of a time, the Menelzo, is a time of Mashiach to come. So that the Menelzo said there was a message to us. It might have been sad for those attending that shiur then, but it is an encouragement to us. Yes, this is the generation, obviously, and certainly, undoubtedly, generation of Mashiach's coming. So Rabbeinu Zal says, remember this. Those of you living then, be strong in emunah. Know that I have warned about this in advance. There'll be a very special test in faith, and most people are going to fail that test. Ashrei to those few who accept my words, Abinadab said, who will be strong in this test of faith, because that time will come. Those few that remain strong in faith will be the ones that will remain to see Mashiach's coming. This is the time that Abinadab spoke about, Of course, we do not speak about dates or years when Mashiach is scheduled to come. We only say one word. If you ask when Mashiach is coming, we have the true answer. The true answer. If you want the date and the time, we can give it to you. The only true answer is Mashiach is coming now. Now, if we have that solid faith, a determination to remain with this emunah, because tavayi tashuri meresh emunah, in the zechus of emunah, will the Jews be redeemed from Golus? It is this emunah that Ben Ezra spoke about and pleaded with his followers. Remember this, pass this on to your descendants. Remind them always that there has been one who forewarned them in advance, years back, generations back, that a time that is so bitter will arrive when people will refuse to listen to righteousness and to goodness. There will be some kind of an evil blanket that will cover them, will darken their minds. Difficult to understand today how human beings can be so misled. Things that are so obviously wrong, yet they go for it. Why? How? The answer is that this is the generation of it, as I spoke about, where there will be so few who will have this true emunah that will follow the righteous path, that at that time Mashiach will come. At that time, at this time, now. The Rebbe that I spoke about the topic of the month of Elul. This was at a different time he spoke about it. The month of Elul is the month before the Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, the period where Moshe Rabbeinu went to heaven, and there he received the pardon for the Jews, 40 days from Rosh Chodesh Elul until the 10th day of Tishrei, Yom Kippur, when the pardon was complete, the forgiveness was complete, and therefore we have Yom Kippur as the day set aside for Tshuva, the Kapora. However, during the entire month of Elul, that's called the month of Tshuva. So during this month, it is the custom among all Jews to say Tikkuni Zohar. The Zohar HaKadosh, as everyone knows, written by Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai Zal, is the basic sefer of Kabbalah, but it is a sefer that could be learned by everyone, because though it has Kabbalah in it, it also has Midrashim, simple words of Musa, simple warm words that arouse a person to an Avas Atayda, Yira Shemayim. There are stories in there that are very inspiring. The entire Zohar HaKadosh is one of the most important Sfarim that exist. In a certain sense, it is the most important because it is the Keneged Elam HaTzilus, top level in Kedusha in Taita. Now, in the Zohar HaKadosh itself, there are different parts. It's divided different types of Sfarim. There is one section called Tikkuni Zohar, a Sefer HaTikkunim. Tikkun, because this is not HaTzilus, this goes down to Elam HaSiyah. This is Misakeh and perfects the lowest of the worlds. It takes the greatest tzaddik to perfect one who has gone, who descended very far below. It takes the greatest sefer to perfect a world far below. Tikkuni Zohar is the highest of the Sifrei Zohar HaKadosh. So it is customary, because of the desire for tshuva, that people say or read or learn the Tikkuni Zohar during the month of Elul. And many of them learn this with a special type of niggun, special tune to it. Also, they spend more time in shul during the month of Elul. When they daven shachris, they finish davening, they spend time in shul to say tefillos. Many are the custom of saying tillim, learning, tikkuni zohar, and so on. So people stay there later, and they eat breakfast at a later hour. This, of course, causes them a degree of weakness, degree of discomfort. Benedel says that you should know that this niggun, which they sing the Tikkuni Zohar, they just sing it, not learn it. And especially the weakness that a Jew experiences during this month of Elul because of his staying a little later in shul in the morning, this brings about tremendous tikkunim above. There are sections in heaven, in the upper heavens, and enjoy tikkunim also, perfection too. Nothing is perfect. Everything was created imperfect with the intention, intended so by Hashem. So just as in heaven, there are tikkunim that repair or amend those that below, so too when a Jew does mitzvahs below, there are tikkunim that are brought about above. And there are marvelous, unusually great tikkunim affected in heavens above through the fact that a Jew stays in shul a few minutes long. This is in the month of Elul, and of course it's very important to note, let us not forget that this surely applies to every day of the year also. The Jew stays in shul, he comes there to daven, and then he runs out to go to business or to go to eat, or a second Jew stays a few minutes longer. So say tehillim. Say tehillim is very important. Tehillim, we know, is equal to learning the most difficult passages of Gemara. Or to say, the Tikkun HaKlali, those special 10 chapters of Tehillim. And then to stay further and to learn something, to learn the words of Torah that are most important, Shulchan Aruch, imagine what that is worth over, above, and beyond those who leave without that. So what kind of tikkunim this brings about? It's not just simply saying Tikkun HaKlali and learning a shir. It is something that affects the highest of the heavens above. This should bring a degree of satisfaction and simcha to a person who zecher, any person who goes to shul and spends a few minutes extra. Those few minutes are just a few minutes below, but they are eons, eternities above in heaven. Well, this, of course, is given to that person as credit on his record. Ashrei to the person who zecher to do that throughout his life. Benedel spoke further about the Inyan mentioned the Tikkun Isaiah. Benedel said, very modestly, of course, we know that the Benedel's anivus, his humbleness and modesty, was second to no one. He reached the highest degree of anivus possible, close to Moshe Rabbeinu. So when he spoke about his own praises, they were said in a truly modest form. It's difficult for any person who achieves to be able to speak about himself, yet to remain modest. As Moshe Rabbeinu wrote about himself, I am the humblest of all people on earth. All of me kol hodom. Not to feel any sense of haughtiness over it. Benedel said that he was a child. As a child, he had learned through, besides the regular studies of Tanya, Gemara, Shas, Peskin, also all the Sifrei Hazayir HaKodesh, the Sefer Tikkunim, Tikkuni Zohar, all the writings of the Arizal, which is the basic bulk of Kabbalah today. Eitz Chaim, Pri Eitz Chaim, all the Kisvei Arizal, Shmei Neshorim, all this the Benazal learned in his youth. The Benazal stressed the main one was the Tikkun Zohar. He spoke many times about the Indian of Tikkun Zohar and said that his regular study took him through Tikkun Zohar throughout the year, even aside from the month of Elul. Benedel said, Tikkun HaZohar is so deep, so vast, that there is no chachmah in the world that is not included in the Tikkun HaZohar. A person who has the mind for it, a person whose mind is deep enough, they can grasp the profundity of the Tikkun HaZohar, can find in it every type of wisdom possible. All types of mathematics, no matter what field, what area it covers, is found in the Tikkun HaZohar. All types of music, one of the deepest wisdoms out is the wisdom of music, Kagina, that is the highest of the Terak Desha, which is divided into four parts, the letters, the vowels, the crowns, musical notes, the highest musical notes, all types of musical notes, can be understood and learned through the Tikkun HaZohar. Of course, this takes a person whose mind is that broad, mind is that deep, but the Tikkun HaZohar is a sefer nistar, it's hidden. Secrets are hidden, but yet even the smallest person learning it can see in it a depth that is far beyond anything he has ever studied before. That's when the Tikkun HaZohar quotes a statement from the Gemara, you find a new light in the words of the Gemara itself. the greatest goyin in Gemara who learns Gemara alone, when he reads the same passage in Tikkun HaZoyah and finds that he understood nothing comparatively prior to this explanation of Tikkun HaZoyah. Every word in Tikkun HaZoyah is a whole world in itself. Every line is equivalent to many pages of Gemara, let alone imagine then what it's compared to any other type of regular secular wisdom, Havdil. So that every kind of chachma that exists, bar none, without exception, is found in the Tikkun HaZoyah. A person who studies it deeply enough will find it, will discover this. Therefore, Rabbi Nadal said he praised the Tikkun HaZoyah above all svarim. For depth, for wisdom, this is the chief, the main sefer. And that is why in the month of Elul, at least, a person should read through this to know that he has said, he has davened through the Tikkun HaZoyah. He has said words that are so holy, they're so sacred, because as the message came to Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai Zal, when this was being composed in heaven, Eliyahu HaNavi said to him, Eliyahu HaNavi was the one who was going to come and proclaim the arrival of Mashiach, said to Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai Zal that with this sefer, your sefer HaZoyah HaKadosh, Yifkum Beimin Galusa, the Jews will leave Golas, they'll go out and to enjoy the Gula Shlema through the power and Kedusha of this Sefer. This Sefer will light the way for them. Path is dark, they require a guide, they require a light, a lantern. The Zohar, the word Zohar translated literally means light. This will be their light in their darkest moments, and this will lead them to a Gula Shlema. This is the Kayach of the Tzadik Emes. Shimei Choyzel, Abedadel, said too that my light will illuminate, will shine until Mashiach comes, and then continue on. Ashrei to those who have this Emuna Shlema. We should be zecher to this Emuna in depth. Pure Emuna, Abedadel, Tzadik Emes, the Tedak Desha, that through this Emuna Hashem and his Tzadikim, we will definitely be zechah to see with our eyes the coming of Mashiach Kenu, rebuilding the Beis Hamikdash Shehinah, Amen.